Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I am joined with Chris Pappias, and Chris is a lifestyle design coach and transformation catalyst. I like that transformation name in there. Her mission is to help women 45 plus create juicy lives. In 2003, Chris was living what many would call a good life. She was in her ninth year of a career as a police officer, a stable, well-paying job. She owned her own home and car. She had no debt, and she was an avid traveler. Then, a serious car crash woke her up. After facing possible death, she realized that while she had all the trappings of success, her life was unfulfilled and boring. Chris began a journey to transform her unfulfilling life into one that was self-directed, interesting, colorful, and even slightly scandalous. Her 10-year search for a juicy life led to the discovery that anything is possible when you get really clear on what your dream life would look like, clarify and own what you are really made of and capable of achieving, and live with purpose. Chris's passion is to share what she has learned with success-driven and adventurous women who feel stuck and uncertain as they look to the future. Chris believes that midlife and beyond is a great time to be alive because, absent any socially set milestones or traditions, we get to do life on our terms. If we just take the time to clarify what we want and implement the changes that need to be made to get us the results that we want. Chris, thank you for coming on to the Me Time Midlife Podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So, as you know, you listen to the podcast, you know I ask this question first, which is, what do you enjoy doing during your me time?
Just point me up onto a mountain trail and I'm happy.
Okay.
2 days a week, Wednesdays and Sundays, I'm up on a trail somewhere. And most days of the week, I'm out for about 2 hours for a walk anywhere. I'm in Abbotsford, so we've got lots of variety here. And just get me out there, outside.
That sounds great. Now, my fitness coach background is coming out, as you say, Wednesdays and Saturdays, which are two great days because you got about a similar amount of time in between each of those days, what, three days or so?
It's Wednesdays and Sundays.
Wednesdays and Sundays. Okay. So same thing. Yeah. So is there any purpose to or reason for Wednesdays and Sundays?
There actually is, because I have a very small group of very like-minded hiking buddies. And when we looked at all our schedules, those were the days where we could actually get together. I've graduated, I've put my big girl pants on, and on those days where they're not available, I now have started going out on my own, but I prefer to go with friends. Obviously, there's safety issues concerned, and what I particularly enjoy about this group of people is we're all happy to hike in silence. So we just take in that environment, what's around us, loving birds, loving nature, you know, stopping, looking, love it.
That's great. How long have you guys been doing this?
We probably started hiking together, I'm going to guess about 5 years ago. We were part of a larger group, and now we've branched sort of off on our own. We have just a different, our reasons for being on the mountain are different from a lot of people that we were hiking with. It's not that one's good and one's bad. It's just, we like the peace and quiet.
Right. Hence the like-mindedness, right? That's a part of that.
Yes, absolutely.
So Chris, I forget how we connected or how we found each other, but I'm so glad that we did. And we got on the phone and we talked and we connected and we got to know each other a little bit more. And I was especially blown away, I guess is what I'm coming up with right now, with your story that you shared with me. And I did share right now in your bio a little bit about that. But could you share with the audience, go into more detail about your story and how it's led to now what you're doing as a as a lifestyle design coach for midlifers?
Well, my story really, I mean, obviously our stories, we have multiple stories, but the story that led me to where I am today is, as you said, in 2003, I had what everybody would have considered to be a really good life. Financially, I was fine. I traveled. I had a social network. Everything looked good from the outside. And I even believed that I had a good life. With all the years that I've worked in the criminal justice system, I always observed how people wait normally until their backs are against the wall to really dig deep and find that strength and the wisdom to deal with things. And I thought, well, I'm so smart, I see it, I'm not going to need a wake-up call. So I thought I was doing life really well. And then on December 27th, 2003, things happened that really turned my life around. And I do get emotional when I talk about it. So that's just the way it is, because it was a huge event. I was working, it was the latter half of a night shift. It had been a really quiet night, around Christmas time. And at 5 o'clock, we would have been off shift at 7 a.m. And at around 5 o'clock, there was a call dispatched. And the dispatch was to a break and enter in progress. It was the kind of call where everybody drops what they're doing. We all head into the area. And as we were heading into the area, we got an update that the suspect had left in a vehicle, make and model unknown, direction of travel unknown. So my task that night was to do area patrols to see if I could find some suspicious vehicles, suspicious people, to help the investigation. And I know these times because it was all on the radio log. And at 5:20, I advised dispatch that I'd come across a suspicious vehicle. I'd be stopping it, turned on the lights, the vehicle pulled over, I pulled in behind it. I ran the plate on my police car computer, nothing came back. So far, so good. I got out of the car and I remember it was so quiet out there. There was no traffic. We were in a fairly isolated part of the jurisdiction and very quiet. Started walking up to the driver's window and all of a sudden his tires were squealing and he was gone. So I ran back to my car and I think you can imagine, multitasking at its best, closing the door, grabbing the radio, updating the radio, putting my car in drive, trying to get my seatbelt on, and the pursuit was on. And for me, it was all over in about 200 feet because as I was accelerating, I drove onto a bridge that had black ice. So my wheels spun out, my car spun out. I slid across the bridge, hit the far side, and it was, I just get shaking telling you about this. It bounced off the far side. It was very slick, so it gained momentum, and I just ping-ponged down the bridge until I went head-on into a concrete pillar at the far end and came to a stop. It was not a good time. I had some significant injuries. I had a double pelvic fracture. This event came on the heels of another work-related critical incident. So I soon found myself in that very dark place of post-traumatic stress. And it would be actually 15 months before I was able to go back to work, before I was fit to go back to work. And it was not a good time, but I have to honestly say, and this is absolute from the heart, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And the reason I say that is, as my car was ping-ponging down that bridge, I knew it might flip over onto the railway tracks below. I knew that with the smashing glass and, that crunching of the metal, I knew there was a possibility that this was not going to end well for me. This was a potentially life-ending situation. And I remember feeling so sad. Not scared, nothing like that, just very sad. Because in that moment, I did see my life. I saw that picture. I saw me in my life. And what I saw was someone who always played by somebody else's rules, always tried to live up to the expectations of others. I never took my dreams seriously or myself seriously. And I always allowed myself to be pulled in 100 different directions. And no matter what decision I made, I always second-guessed myself. And what I saw were all the dreams that I had had for my life that had been parked up on a shelf in the dark, collecting dust. And so as I started healing mentally and physically, I made a commitment to myself that I was going to figure out how to take back that life, how to take back my life, how to live life in a way that really honored what was important to me. And I like to say even slightly scandalous, because I wasn't going to accept the status quo anymore. I was going to live life my way. And perhaps I suspect you're aware that when you start changing and when you start doing things your way and questioning social pressures on what's acceptable behavior, people get uncomfortable and they turn it back on you, and it's slightly scandalous. But for the first few years, I tried to do it on my own, and that really didn't get me anywhere. And it was only when I owned the fact that doing it on my own wasn't working for me and that I really needed help, and that's when things started turning around.
From, like you said, from the outside, it seemed like you had it all going on, right? Well, let me ask you this. A police officer, when did you get into that? How long were you a police officer?
I got hired in 1994. So I was, it was late in life. I was at the time, I believe I was at the time the oldest female to go through training in that location. I had been involved around police officers for many years. I was very involved in the victim assistance movement. So I started several years involved in a police-based victim assistance unit. I was involved in responding for calls to assistance, and I was involved in the training. I then ran my own program in another location for a number of years. And I just felt that I really wanted to go back and do the policing firsthand. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to stand up for something that I believed in. I am a survivor, if you will, of physical and sexual assaults. And I wanted to be the line that the bad guys couldn't cross. Mm. I think the real mistake I made was in not understanding that law enforcement is about the perpetrators. It's about reining in bad behavior. My love is in helping people rise to the very best version of themselves. Mm. And that's not what my mandate was. Mm. It's not that law enforcement is bad and what I wanted to do was good. Is I just missed the fine print. Mm. So I applied, I got in. Okay, I'm going to say this in public. I knew 3 weeks into training that something was just not right. And I knew that for a lot of reasons, but I didn't have the courage to walk away. Hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. And again, from the outside, it's like a female police officer back in the early 90s is at that age, you said it was a little later in life, was quite a feat. You know, and to think that you're sharing that you didn't have courage is interesting, because again, I'm thinking about people that we view and we think, oh, well, this is their purpose and this is why they went into that. And you're sharing that that wasn't the right thing for you. And we know that you could be great at many jobs, but doesn't mean it's the right job for you, nor do you find it fulfilling, even if others might think it is a very purposeful career.
I think the whole issue of purpose is you really have to dig deep. I just don't think I peeled the onion quite far enough. Mm. I didn't know who I was. I was definitely living life on autopilot. I was going with the flow. I was doing what was expected of me. My values were so based on the messaging I got from outside of myself. And I think that that's not unusual. And that's sort of the core of the work that I do with my clients, is to really get to understand and own what is important to you at the deepest level, mm-hmm. not superficially.
Right, right. Yeah, and we work with a similar market, but in different ways. And I see this come up a lot, right? Because there is that overlap, right, with health and wellness and with life transitions and all of that. But, you know, I will say our clients, I think many of our clients, or maybe most, have been doing all the things they think they should be doing most of their lives and taking care of everybody else's needs. And so, you know, this time of self-discovery is such a beautiful time in a woman's life. So the fact that, you know, you went through this traumatic event and now you're helping women look beyond the surface and really get deep into what is important to them, maybe what has always been important to them, but they were not able to express or do because they were busy raising their family or going to school or creating a career or whatever. But I'm interested here in this, you know, you mentioned juicy lives a couple of times, right? You help women 45 plus create juicy lives. Why do you use that word juicy? And what is a juicy life?
For me, a juicy life is a life that's, first of all, self-directed. It comes from within you. It's a life that's interesting. It's a life that it's appealing. It's colorful. It's a life that in which you experience the full range of the human experience. It's not a happy pill. It's knowing that you can experience the entire range of human emotion and that you've got what it takes to land on your feet, that challenges are seen as learning experiences. And yes, sometimes we will make choices that maybe are not in service of where we want to go, but then we learn from that. A juicy life is one that's, like I said, slightly scandalous, where you're not playing by the rules. You're ruffling feathers, but not because you want to ruffle their feathers, but because you want to live life outside of the square box that we're being told day in and day out. We're told how to look, what our proportions should be, what clothes we should wear, what car we should drive, what alcohol we should drink. We're told everything. And the fact is, big companies have mega $1 million marketing budgets because they know darn well that if you don't know what's important to you, they will tell you.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And they do it very well. Okay, so analogy. You know, you've got your beautiful sailboat and you're in a bay. If you don't anchor properly, you can drop the anchor, but the tide can take you out. Mm. And we humans, I think, first of all, I think it's our birthright. I don't think that what I'm suggesting is so outrageous. I think it's our birthright. And we have this belief that the type of life I'm talking about is for the rich and famous. And my answer to that is, well, look at the substance abuse, the suicide rates, you know, the incredibly high profile splits, just some of the outrageous behavior. Clearly having fame and fortune isn't exactly a guarantee. And one thing I keep telling my clients also, it's not a happy pill. Mm-hmm. There's a very big difference between being happy, and being grounded and knowing what is the impact I want to have on the world and how do I need to be and think in order to have that impact. You know, we talk about business branding. How do you want people to talk about your business when you're not around? That's your brand. Personal brand is the same thing. What do I want my legacy to be? Mm-hmm. And I don't care whether you're someone who's riding the back of a garbage truck, whether you're a CEO, a woman who's at home raising her kids, because that's a full-time job. I don't care what you do, but I believe that knowing how you want to be remembered is entitled. It's something we're all entitled to.
Mm. Yeah. And I like how you talk about, you know, there not being this happy pill where you're not trying to help women live this light and happy life. But actually what makes a quote unquote happy life at the end is a rich life, rich in experience and wisdom, rich in emotion, not just experiencing, because, you know, experiencing the highest of joys, you can really only experience the highest of joys if you've known the depths of sadness and despair, right? And it's so crazy how it's like, well, be careful what you wish for. But, you know, in my life, and I have experienced some, but I know there's more to come, I want to experience the breadth of life. I want to experience deep sadness. I want to experience, you know, just great joy, you know, and everything in between, because that is what a rich life is. And, you know, you helping and me, you know, with midlife women, there's just so much more life ahead of them, right? I mean, even after your crash where you stared death in the face, you know, that could have been the end, but it wasn't. And now you're helping women and in turn yourself kind of create this life of purpose and meaning, which is wonderful.
And you know, what you said in the bio is we're expected in our, you know, around the 50s, you know, it's all retire and kind of shuffle off stage left. Mm-hmm. And the reality is we're maybe what, the third or the fourth generation who arrive at the 50 age, and we've got 30, 40 years of living ahead of us. And we have no, there's real, other than please disappear, which we're saying, no, we're not going to disappear. So how are we going to be present? Mm-hmm. Get to do it on our own terms. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've read the book, The Happiness Curve, and I'm so bad at names. I'm sorry. I'm not going to even try to remember the author's name, but it's called The Happiness Curve. And the author has brought together, he's reviewed all the research that has been done about midlife. And what shows universally is that we tend to be most unhappy in this 45 to 60 age group. And we're going to experience it. It's universal. And I'm not going to, I mean, read the book and you'll see why it is. And I think he gives a really reasonable explanation. And in order to start going up the U again, it's purpose. What makes life after midlife enjoyable is knowing your purpose, is in giving back. It's in helping, you know, reaching a hand out to the generation that's coming up, and sharing what you know with them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so many women that I've talked to or I've listened to or ever, they're saying, you know, I don't know, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? And we're supposed to be questioning that. Mm. So aside from the human tendency to go through that process, we're also facing the realities of elderly parents. If you have children, it's the empty nesting. Many relationships end at this time. Mm-hmm. There are many changes. Our bodies change, you know, maybe health issues. So there are some really concrete changes, but there's also that other little ingredient that we don't anticipate. And for me, midlife is a crossroad. And if you look for the answers in all the wrong places, you're going to go to a crisis and you're going to make changes that maybe are not in service of a rich, juicy life beyond. Mm-hmm. But if you stop and take the time to really question, where have I been? What's important? What am I made of? I think there's such a richness in there. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, in all those years, that 30 years in the criminal justice system in various capacities, seeing people have their lives turned upside down and over again, backs against the wall, dig deep, find the strength, find the wisdom, we don't give ourselves credit for. Mm-hmm. Because it takes time to stop and do the reflection.
Right, right. And I mean, it's really smart to ask for help and ask for a guide like yourself to help you, to ask you those questions. Because sometimes we don't know the questions that we need to be answering, right? Or we don't know how to come up with that. How am I supposed to know my life purpose at this point, right? And again, maybe it's different than it was, or maybe you've never had a chance to explore that. And, you know, we talk about purpose, and it's one of those words I think that's getting thrown around a lot, and I think it's losing its meaning. But purpose needs to be this, still this word and this meaning that is really important in our lives. And oftentimes, we don't quite know until midlife you know, I continue to develop my purpose and meaning for my life as I learn more about myself, as I do more of the work that I do. And when you hit midlife, that's just a beautiful time. In fact, purpose and meaning is one of the 9 attributes of the blue zone people. So the people that in the blue zones are, there are 5 areas in the world where people live over 100. And there was this, they were studying what do all these places have in common? And one of them is that they all have purpose and meaning. No matter what age they are, but I mean, they can be 90 years old, 100 years old, but they still have purpose and meaning in their lives. And just like you said, back in the day when you hit 50 and you were starting to think about retirement, like those days are over, right? There's still so much you can be doing with your life personally and professionally.
I hope I'm not misquoting this, but it is my firm belief, and if I'm wrong, I apologize to the powers that are affected, but I think Louise Hay, did she not create Hay House when she was like in her 60s?
I think you're right about that.
And look what she did in the next 20
Absolutely.
Years.
Oh, there's many stories of women who have done that. And again, it can be the best time to do that because now you just have so much experience. You know yourself so much better, and you understand the world better too.
I just want to say one thing that, we were talking about the word purpose that's being bandied around, and I agree. What it boils down to, I don't know, I love walking through cemeteries and looking at what's written on tombstones or on the memorial benches. Mm-hmm. That's purpose. How are you remembered? What do you want people to write on your memorial bench?
Yeah. What you want people to say at your eulogy, right?
Yeah. You know, for me, when I had my crash, I thought, oh my gosh, what are they going to say? She lived debt-free and she traveled the world.
Right. Well,
and for some, that may be really exciting, but that's not the impact I wanted to have on the world.
Right.
That was all about me. It had nothing to do with anybody else. And I think true purpose, when you look at those memorial benches, it's not about them, it's about how they impacted the world around them,
right?
Those are the ones that get to me.
Right. Now, before we go, Chris, could you just share maybe for somebody listening who is right on board and really resonates with this and is at a time of her life where she's ready to discover her purpose? I know you have something on your website to get started with that, but can you just share maybe something that women listening can start to think about or start to reflect on that can get them going on this journey?
Just think back to people that you have had a lot of respect for. And those people can be real people. They can be characters in a book. And they can be alive or dead, people that you really think that was really somebody. And what is it? What is that characteristic? What is the impact they had on the world that so amazed you? So for example, for me, it's Mahatma Gandhi because it's that non-violent freedom, freedom and peace. And that's what I think of. If there's somebody in the world or a character that you can think of that really you think of them and it moves you, that's something that's really important to you. And then ask yourself, is that being reflected in my life? Am I doing that in my life? And how am I doing that? And if I'm not, if I started changing things around, what impact would that have? And you're correct that on my website, through my website, I offer 90-minute life mapping sessions. They're complimentary, and it's to create a snapshot of your life today and really connect with what it could be like to have the life of your dream. Because I think it's really important to know where you are today, to know your starting point. From there, you can start thinking of what needs to happen for me to get that life that I'm really connected to, that I dream of.
I love that. And your website, what's your website again?
Okay.
We haven't shared it yet.
Yeah. Okay. It's www.chrispapius.com, and that's spelled KRYSPAPPIUS. And it's one word, chrispapius.com. And if you're interested in that life mapping session, You'll find a link there to my calendar, book it. We get on a call. I allow 90 minutes. If we take 90 minutes, great. And if we don't, that's fine too. And if I can help you achieve that dream, great. And if not, I think your listeners would still get a lot of value out of just going through the process.
Absolutely. And that's really generous of you to spend 90 minutes with somebody on that. I mean, you can get a lot out of that time with a coach. Yes. So really appreciate that. And Chris, I just wanted to add that as women look back, as we look back at somebody who we find as a woman or a person of purpose, yours wasn't a woman, but a person of purpose, right, that we want to kind of emulate and look at our own lives. It doesn't have to be a famous person, right? It can be a family member. It could be someone that we came across in our lives.
Anyone that you look at and you go, wow. Mm. You know, it could be anybody. It could be a mentor in a school. I mean, whoever.
Right, right. Well, I'll share mine before we go. As you were talking, and I was thinking, oh, what would mine be? But it came up real quick. So I was listening to you, but mine came up real quick. And it'd be Susan B. Anthony, who was, really drove the women's suffrage movement in the U.S. And she pretty much dedicated her life to getting women the right to vote. And she's really my hero. So yeah, I love being able to think, okay, how am I doing part of that in my life? And so thanks for getting us to think about that, Chris. And thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for the work that you're doing. And I will put your website in the show notes so that people can go there and check you out a little bit more. So thanks again, Chris.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to chat with you and let your listeners know that there is always another way.
If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it and support yourself while doing it. You can review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to listen to it. You can tell your friends about it or share it on social media. And if you want more Me Time in your life, consider becoming a member of the Me Time Midlife community. This is my online community of like-minded and like-hearted women in midlife who want to take charge of their life by cultivating their health, happiness, and purpose while building connections and friendships along the way. There are many benefits to joining, including monthly member-only Q&As with some of the experts you hear on the podcast. Plus, as a listener of the podcast, you get a special listener discount. Go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Again, thank you for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.